Hello, my name is Charlie Moores from Off the Leash Podcasts, and you're about to listen to a shortcast from renowned ecologist Tom Langton. Tom discusses the call for evidence made by the Joint Nature Conservation Committee, the JNCC, which could lead to the removal of legislative protection for many of the UK's amphibians and reptiles, and could, to use Tom's words, allow snake bashing to become lawful again.
What is to be made of the call for evidence on the status of the 9 more widespread amphibian and reptiles in England, Scotland and Wales? JNCC apparently aim to remove protection from them by using new criteria to assess their numbers. The indications are that this may mean delisting from protection under Schedules 5 and 8 of the Wildlife and Countryside Act. Remember, this is a government that promised no post-Brexit drop in environmental standards. So, what the heck is going on? What this criteria decision threatens is allowing those damaging forces that were causing population declines up to the 1980s to restart for some of our most loved wildlife. It would mean snake bashing to become lawful again, the killing and injuring of snakes. So, this is re-legislating cruelty as well as a conservation threat. We know that the adder is still declining, so that might be safe under the new rules, but why single out grass snake just because it's more difficult to count? If you can kill grass snakes, is a defence when killing other snakes? You didn't know. That all snakes are protected works across the board. Reversing it now, this now established rule is utter madness and a conservation nonsense designed to confuse every police wildlife officer and RSPCA official. So much for protecting sentient animals. Snakes are rarely killed quickly. They are bashed and stamped on until bruised and slashed to death. Is this really something the public should learn is lawful? You'll be able to kill grass snakes because we don't know if they're declining as fast as the other snakes. Utter stupidity. Equally hard to measure as grass snake, the lizards, common lizard and slow worm, cannot be doing well in overstocked, overgrazed countries, with wild corners being constantly tidied up, deadwood removed and soaked with new designs of agri sprays. With all these reptiles, the signs of habitat loss persist. Government has not funded monitoring to any significant degree, and if the measures have worked to slow decline over the last 30 years, why remove them now? It just doesn't make sense. Keeping moderately abundant animals from declining is as important as protecting rare species, as it is more expensive to recover the biomass once they have disappeared. At least there's an economic argument as well. And the new suggestions literally sell these beautiful animals down the river. Grass snakes, newts, frogs and toads all used to be traded by pet shops, often dying of neglect in tanks, having been stolen from ponds and open spaces. I know I did a pet shop survey back in the 1980s. People bought them, fed them to exotic pets or released them in gardens and parks, potentially spreading diseases such as the viral and fungal disease discovered since 1990. Frogs have taken a nosedive in many urban areas, again poorly monitored, and are still largely absent across countryside where they were once very common. Toads too are clearly declining, and frogs doing less well as garden ponds give way to decking. Who knows about the two small newt species, but their habitat is shrinking, more fragmented, more pressurised year on year despite the admirable demonstration projects in a few places. Re-legislating cruelty and disease spread makes no sense. There has been no recovery of the large national declines that led to the listing of these animals 30 or so years ago. So why do it now? Now that's a good question. Does it relate to senior politicians year after year since 2008, using great crested newt as a poster child for their inability to resolve a housing crisis? Desperate individuals reading scripts prepared by backroom thinkers, riddled, or should I say riddled, with errors? Vested development interests who falsely claim that wildlife creates unwarranted delays of development when it doesn't? It doesn't, any more than the normal time span needed for archaeologists or other heritage concerns to be properly managed. Ask a developer. They don't like the cost of dealing with nature any more than any other overhead or building material when trying to make a profit. It doesn't mean to say they don't respect the process. Does it relate to district licensing that risks unlinking countryside protection from planning process? The loss of Greenbelt with some promise to rebuild nature over 30% of the country? Or will it be to give money to those who own 30% of the land to do something to, 10% of it, in some kind of wishy-washy, unplanned, untargeted way, over the next decade or two, while fat facilitators, land bankers, if that's the right word, get fees to try and be clever and no doubt say, oh, it hasn't worked as well as we'd hoped at some point around 2030, as they did for the failed or inconclusive pilots over the last 15 years? Or is it to help manipulate the DEFRA matrix too, to minimise mitigation and make destruction of anything easy again, as long as you can play death by tick box better than the local people trying to save their special nature area? The move to allow developers to bulldoze animals into the soil rather than capture and relocate them into restored habitats is the most grisly and stupid approach to modern biodiversity protection aspirations. Not only is it legislating cruelty, it makes no sense at all. If habitats are going to be made using some grand scheme, where is the scheme in advance for all to see? The reality is that it is no more than a hope. Digging holes on council land is ridiculous and an attempt to push private industry obligations onto the public purse. Now, who would have dreamt that up? So this is looking like a big battle ahead, maybe a big campaign, and a legal battle even. There is a call for evidence ending 7th of July, so make sure you don't miss it. The consultation is later in the year, but we need to get on top of this right now. You can write to object about the process, not which species should be saved, unless it's all of them. They all need to be left exactly as they are on the Wildlife and Countryside Act. Write to your MP, the Minister, Prime Minister even. The Chesham and Amersham by-election has shown the government that nobody wants unfettered development and diminishing wildlife protection. The blue wall will crumble if our declining wildlife and countryside crumbles too. If you love wildlife, and frogs, toads, newts, snakes and lizards, this is your moment to say keep the protection. So keep control and save them and look out for how you can help in the next few weeks ahead.
For more great audio from campaigners, researchers, activists and authors, please subscribe to Off the Leash Podcasts by your favourite streaming platform.